of sorrow and dead in my sin. Lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But guess what? But then Jesus arose with a freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. So free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new.
Amen. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I'm just pray for all of us that we had a great Thanksgiving this week. I know some of you, even I've heard some celebrating even today. We're so busy as families today with jobs and being distance between families and things happening that sometimes Thursday's not necessarily the day. Sometimes it's a little early. Sometimes it's the day of, and sometimes it's even afterwards. But I pray for some of you. I know you're going through some first in this Thanksgiving of being without some of those that you love and being apart from those that you love because of, I mentioned jobs and those kind of things as well, but it's a lot different than it used to be, but we have to make the best that we can be and be thankful for the way the Lord blessed us and continues to bless us as a family. As we gather together this morning as a church family to pray this morning, I want to ask that we pray for Ms. Joyce Crane. Joyce has been going through a lot of pain with her back and will be seeing a doctor later this week. Prayerfully, they'll be able to help her get some relief for that. Also, Dwayne Henson went back into ICU. If you would lift up Becky and LaFoy and Dwayne and his family, and also the Banks family, friends of mine and Kim, and several of you may know Rick Banks. His wife Debbie passed away yesterday, and so I don't even know the names of those who passed away on Tuesday before Thanksgiving, but I was on my way to a meeting, and right there on Highway 253 had an awful collision, and a 21-year-old and a 50-something-year-old died. And so, like I said, for some, it's been a difficult Thanksgiving. It's hard sometimes when you're going through a time of grieving to really give thanks. But you know what? We thank the Lord in good times and bad times. Remember Tim Odom. He'll be going through some treatments this week. It's a critical time for him, too, if you would. Just remember him. And glad to have Sandra and him here today as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you that your grace is sufficient for all of our needs, Lord. And as we come today, Lord, we come exalting you, Lord, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and acknowledging, Lord, that you are Almighty God. And Lord, we place our full faith and dependence and hope in you and in you alone. And God, I pray today, Lord, as we come, Lord, for each family that's here, Lord, knowing that many of us are going through different times of life, Lord, with sickness and with death, and Lord, with illnesses and with hurts and pains, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you as the great physician, as the healer, as the redeemer, Lord, would interact and involve yourself in the life of each believer that's here today, Lord, each person that's here today who would commit themselves to you. And God, in such a way, Lord, that it would be obvious and clear to each of us, Lord, that there is a God in heaven and that you alone are God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the way that you love us, Lord, even when we're not lovable. And God, I pray now, Lord, that you would love us and, Lord, that we would love you as well, Lord, and we would love others. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, who are hurting and going through times of pain, Lord, as I pray for Miss Joyce. I thank you, Lord, for her faithfulness and trying to be a faithful servant, Lord, as one who is a disciple trying to grow in you. And Lord, I pray for her now, Lord, you would give relief of the pain. I pray, Lord, for Dwayne, Lord, as one who has been through a battle for the last 3 months, Lord, that you would just be with him to encourage him and to strengthen him, Lord, to remind him, Lord, that you love him. And Lord, to take away any thoughts of depression that Satan may try to place in his mind. Lord, I pray, Lord, for his family, too, that they, too, would not grow weary or faint, but, Lord, that you would lift them up and strengthen them today. God, I pray also, Lord, as we come, Lord, that you would be with the Banks family. God, I pray, Lord, thank you for Debbie and her love for you and her commitment to you. I pray for Rick and for the kids and for the extended family, Lord, that you would be with them. Lord, I pray your grace would be upon them, Lord, in a way they've not experienced before, Lord, as they need it at this time. And Lord, I pray now, Lord, that you would just speak to us through your word as we study about what it means to be those who are immersed in the word of God, those who are followers of Christ, and the importance of your word to give us that hope and reminder each and every day, Lord, of your great promises to us as your children and the hope that we have in you for eternal life, now and forevermore. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in Luke chapter 24 today, and I want to ask you today, who is Jesus? Do you think about that very often? Who is Jesus? You know, if you were to do an internet search, you may find a lot of information that would relate pretty closely to what we believe as Protestant Christians who believe in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as one who lived a sinless life here on this earth, as the Son of God, died for our sins and was raised from the dead and gives us the hope and the promise of eternal life by placing our faith and trust in him through repentance and faith in Christ. But you know, you'll find a lot of other things too that would probably cause a lot of confusion and controversy too over the things that you read on the internet about Jesus. So I encourage people as new believers, when you begin to want to grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, don't go to the internet as your first source. Don't just Google a Bible study, or don't just Google Jesus and see what comes up that you can learn about him. I would encourage you, more importantly, to go to the Word of God itself if you want to know who Jesus is. Because beginning in Genesis and all the way through the book of Revelation, it unveils the beauty and majesty and grace and love and kindness and compassion, the wrath and the justice and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And through that, that's how we learn who Jesus is and who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible was not written about us or for us in the sense that it talks about us in so many ways. It was written about what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he did and what he's going to do in the future for us as his followers. And with that, it does give us a word to us to encourage us and strengthen us and challenge us in our daily walk. But you know, I think about in the context of the story where we are today, as Jesus had just went to the cross and died, and the story picks up with two of his disciples that are on the road to Emmaus, which is about 6 miles from Jerusalem. And these men were talking with one another as they were walking along, and a stranger came up to them and began to walk with them. And as he began to listen to their conversation, as they were just kind of walking in the same direction, it just seemed as if he was not even there. They were talking among themselves, and he was listening to their conversation, how there was great concern and great worry on their part about the things that had happened. And so he began to question them, what is this that you're talking about, and why are you so concerned about these things? And they basically asked him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that does not know what happened to this man Jesus of Nazareth and how they killed him? And you know what, folks? We can focus a lot on the death of Christ, and we need to be reminded of that death. You know, I love those old hymns that we sing about the cross, because we need to be reminded that it's at the cross that grace abounded and it was given to all of mankind through God the Father, through his Son's death on the cross. We never need to be ashamed of the cross, but we constantly need to be aware of the cross. But you know, I've shared with you before, as I was a young boy growing up and you're trying to learn about Jesus, and I had friends who had this cross and had Jesus on the cross, and I kept telling my mother, Mother, I want one of those for Christmas. I want one of those crosses with Jesus on it. And she said, Son, I'm not buying you a cross with Jesus on it. Because you see, our Jesus ain't hanging there on the cross anymore. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He went to that cross for us, but he's no longer there. He's not in that tomb either. So we have so much to look forward to and to rejoice in today as followers of Christ. But for these men, as Jesus approached them, it was a crisis in their lives. It was a major crisis. Now, as I mentioned earlier, when you get that word that you or a loved one has cancer and you're going through those battles that you go through, or you have problems with your heart and you have to go and spend time in the hospital, and it's a crisis for you and for your family. It's a real battle spiritually to stay focused upon the Lord and stay committed in a sense of trusting him in all things at all times. These men were beginning to question by what happened if Jesus was who he said he is and if what happened should have happened or not. Now, folks, I want you to think about this. As you're looking on the internet, there may be those who, through unbelief, but would still say, you know, an innocent person died there at Calvary that day. But through the eyes of faith, we look deeper and we understand, yes, he was innocent and he was not guilty of anything deserving of death because he had never even committed sin. But yet the grace and the love of God is expounded so bountifully there at Calvary. And so as we begin our study this morning in Luke chapter 24, I want to just kind of get you begin there at verses 25 and 27 to kind of get a little bit more of a background of the importance of God's word in our lives. They were talking about how they went to the tomb and he was not there, and they were concerned about his death and they were consumed by his death. Jesus then said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. You know, I cannot read this scripture without being reminded of a time and sharing the message with a man who was a Muslim. As we were there in Central Asia, and we were going through the study of the Gospels, we were going through the study of God's Word, and as I read this story, the book we were using called The Road to Emmaus, and as we were reading this, he began to question about what they were talking about here. And I said, essentially what he's telling them about is he's telling them how in Genesis there was a promise of a child that was going to be a child of blessing. And how throughout the book there, as you read in the Old Testament, you see there in Isaiah that he was also the suffering servant. Now Jesus, as he begins to speak to them in a moment, is a lot different than religious leaders of the time, because you see a lot of them do like we do today. We read the word and we understand what it says, but then we try to kind of selectively remember or teach certain things that we get out of that or we want to apply. And one of the things we don't like to apply is that the Bible makes it clear that Jesus was going to come as the Messiah. He was going to suffer and die for our sins, and he was going to be raised again and returned to heaven. And one day he was going to come back. But see, that we don't like to talk about suffering. Because you see, when he says, you have to take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me, to identify with his suffering and his death, is that we're to die to self to live in Christ. As we don't like to hear that language, because our old flesh says, but that means I have to give up things. I have to stop doing things that I do. I have to stop going to places that I go. I have to stop hanging out with people that I hang out with. Let me just say, the Bible is not about the do's and don'ts that we are to do and don't do. It's about what Jesus did and what he's going to do again. You see, we don't have to just stop everything. What we have to do is start focusing upon Jesus and growing in that relationship with him, loving him and being loved by him, and then loving upon others. You see, those friends that may not have been friends, you may not hang out with them, because a lot of it may have to do more with when you grow in love with Jesus Christ and you're growing in the Word of God, and every time you're around them and you begin to share what God is doing in your life and the blessing it is to be a child of God, and you begin to talk about Jesus and you begin to talk about brothers and sisters in Christ and having all this additional family that you didn't have before, and all these things begin to become evident, those around you that were a part of your life before Christ, or that were dragging you away from Christ, and since you were rebelling and going with them against the things of God, is they then don't want to be confronted with that truth, and they don't want to hear that, and so they distance themselves. Fortunately, in some cases, the Lord blesses and uses you as that vessel to point them to Christ. And so it's not a matter we have to run from them. We just have to be very aware of who we are in Christ and what God's Word says about us as his children. So to do that, we've got to know God's Word. And that's why the message today is titled Being Immersed in God's Word. Because the thing we read here is that he begins to open up to them and teach them. And he says that you're a foolish one and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. He said, these things have been spoken to you. These things were taught to you. And he says in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, Jesus had been telling them for weeks and weeks and months before he died, the day is coming that the Son of Man must die. I'm going to die. When they were on their way to Jerusalem, he was making it clear to them, I'm going there to die. He had his face set towards the cross. Nobody or no one was going to deter him from going and fulfilling his mission that God the Father had sent him for and brought him to the earth for, as he was going to be obedient to the Father. And folks, sometimes we need to focus on that too, is we just got to be obedient to the Father. It doesn't matter what people say, if they like it, if they don't like it, if they're for us, if they're against us, if they're wanting us to do it or not wanting us to do it. We just need to do what God tells us to do and what he's leading us to do as his children, to bring glory to him and to his name. And so the thing that we see that's important, though, is how Jesus, As a young boy, we read in the scriptures how he learned the scriptures. He meditated upon the scriptures. He shared the scriptures. And as he taught there, even among those who were leaders, teachers, how it was amazing. As a young man, he was there found teaching after his parents had left him for a few days. And they came back and he says, "What did you think I was going to be doing? I'm going to be about my father's business. This is what I was sent here for." And you know what? He's called and saved and set us apart. Not to set us on the shelf or on the pew, but set us apart in the sense that we're to be different. We're to be holy as a holy people of God. And to be holy and righteous is to walk in the word of God in obedience to God through the Spirit of God. And so he uses the scriptures at this moment, one of the most critical times for these men as they were wondering, is Jesus who he says he is? And was it really necessary that he had to die? And Jesus says, absolutely. The prophets had said it was going to happen. It was necessary to happen. And what he said, what they said has come true. You know, I think back over into Luke chapter 4, and it's found in a couple other gospels, is the story of the temptation where Jesus was there confronted by Satan. And Jesus was confronted to do a couple miracles in a way to kind of identify himself or show his identity. And as he was confronted, it was to turn the stones into bread or to jump from the temple and the angels to catch him, to prove he's the Son of God. In other words, a couple times he questions, says, "If you were the Son of God." But you see, Jesus was too smart for that. Jesus was in the Word, and he knew the Word, and he knew his identity was found in the Father, not in proving himself to Satan or anybody else. See, folks, a lot of times we get confronted by those people that are our peers, that if you are this Christian, why don't you just do this? If you are this Christian, why don't you do that? And that peer pressure is not something we need to succumb to. We need to follow the Word of God and acknowledge the fact that, listen, it doesn't matter that I'm pleasing to you. It doesn't matter that I can prove to you what you want me to prove. It's a matter of fact that God knows me, and my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life because he shed his blood for me, and I've given myself to him completely. You know, as I read this scripture today, is we see from the early time in Christ's childhood the importance of the scripture. We see throughout the Gospels the important scripture, and we also see how he's using the Old Testament here. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm a New Testament Christian. I believe Christ died for me and set me free in the liberty of Christ. Amen. Praise God. But the fact of the matter is, you're only a partial Christian in the sense of understanding who you are and your identity in Christ if you don't go back to the Old Testament and get the full picture and understand what was prophesied about him and how the fulfillment of that's come, and there's still more to come. And in understanding that, those promises that relate to us even from the Old Testament that give us that hope and that confidence today to live victorious lives today in Christ Jesus. Not just looking for that day that we're with him in heaven. Oh, we're looking forward to that. But here on earth, you see, this old world is a sinful world, and we get beaten down, and there's times where we're struggling in our faith. We're struggling in our understanding of who we are. You know, I was thinking about this earlier. I laid out my clothes yesterday, and I got up this morning. It didn't even dawn on me, and I thought, wow, this looks almost like either Georgia Bulldogs or like a Carolina Gamecocks. And it wasn't intentional, but I'm just trying to identify. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and grieve with those who are grieving. You know, but, you know, when you think about it, folks, the thing I'm thinking about, though, is this, is I used to, first of all, as a young man in a small town in the lower part of the state, when people would ask me who I was, I would tell them my name. And I would tell them my father and my mother's name, that I'm their son. That was my identity. I'm their son. And then as I kept growing and I began to play balls, I played baseball, you know, and I was a baseball player. And then I'm Kim's husband. But then when I got saved, it was all about, I'm Christ's child. He died for me. And yes, I'm Garrett and Aaron's dad, and I'm Kim's husband. First and foremost, I'm a child of God. And you know what, folks? That's what Jesus is reminding us, and he reminds us of over and over again today through the scriptures. When we turn over to the main text that we're in today in verses 44 through 49, there's some things that he has left those men on the road to Emmaus, and he's gone to his main disciples there, and he's met with them, and he's revealed himself because they're even questioning, having doubts who he is. And He's again having to show them, in a sense, not to prove his identity, but to confirm to them the fulfillment of the scriptures. You see, there are those who would question, did Jesus really die? There are Muslims and others who would say, well, you know, he really didn't die. He fainted and they revived him later and he lived on, or all these things they try to say about all these different theories. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus says in the scriptures that he did die, but he's come back again from the dead. And he comes to them there in the upper room where they are, as they're hiding together, as they're afraid and they're not sure what to do. And their world has been shaken up and they're in crisis too. And the thing you notice is that he meets with them. He says, behold, in verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. But then he also says, have you had any food? Have you got any food here? And they gave him fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. But folks, that wasn't what really reminded them or told them, oh, this is Jesus. Remember earlier it says when he broke the bread and blessed it, they said, oh, it's Jesus. And they went running back to tell the disciples. You see, he didn't have a problem revealing who he was to those who were looking for him, those who were desiring to follow him. But the thing is here he does this as love for his disciples. But the thing that really confirmed to them was when he began to speak and talk to them about the scriptures, just as he had those on the road to Emmaus. In verse 44, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You know, we can read over that and think, man, he was just speaking to his disciples at the time, and he was just trying to reassure them. Let me just tell you, this word is for us today. It's living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And with that, we're reminded that Jesus, the living Word of God, is quoting to us the Word of God. And he's doing that. He's doing it in a way to challenge each of us in our daily walk. Now, we've been talking about discipleship. You know, when you're going through those difficult times and times when maybe you're even away from the body of Christ, and even though people may be calling and praying with you or telling you they're praying for you or trying to encourage you in some way and those things, and we do that, and we should do that. But the thing day in and day out that causes us to continue to grow in our relationship with Christ, the one central thing that we do that speaks to our heart to encourage us the most, is we take time daily to get into the Word of God and begin to read the Word of God and to begin to hear God's Word of His love letter to us to remind us of His love for us. Now let me just say, with that love, there comes also that kindness and that grace and that compassion, that mercy, and all those things we love to hear about. But let me just say, in that love, there comes those spankings when He takes us to the woodshed and the discipline and the love and the judgment and the confrontation of who we are, and we're not walking where we should be according to His Word, not by the world or the Christian standards or the church or any of those things, but according to Him and to His Word. That's the standard. It's not the bylaws of the church or what the people in the church think or what the people in the world think. It's according to God's Word. And so Jesus begins to open up to them, and think about this. He's about to ascend to heaven. And He's going to give them one great parting gift that challenges all of us here too. There's three actually. And when you read here, He says, these words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Now He goes right back to the same thing He had just told the two on the road to Emmaus. Do you see the consistency in the Word of God? It's not changing in the sense that you can interpret if you live in this century, it means this thing, and if you live in this time period, it means something different. No, that's the way the world is. But God is unchangeable, and in that His Word is unchangeable. And it's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that's what brings us hope, That consistency in God is the same in the fact that he does not change. What if he was to be a loving, kind God today, but then he gets mad over the fact, well, you hadn't come by and you hadn't talked to me in a while. And, you know, I hadn't seen you in my church, in my house of God in a while, so I'm just not going to bless you today. Call on me if you want to. I'm not going to respond. What kind of God would that be? But he's not that way. He's a God who is a forgiving God, but yet at the same time, he is a jealous God also. He does want that relationship with us. He desires that for us. Not just for himself. He wants to fellowship with us, but also for us and for what's good for us. You know, when I read here the things, one of those three things he gives, it says in verse 45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. You know, every one of us sitting here today or standing here today needs to be in prayer. Lord, would you open my mind and my heart and give me understanding of your word. Now, he's going to tell them that, you know, you wait here a little longer for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. But for those of us that have become followers of Christ, the Holy Spirit has come upon us and dwells within us and is our teacher. And so with that, he is the one who opens our minds. He is the one who transforms our minds and renews our hearts as we immerse ourselves and our lives in the word of God. You know, when I think about that, that's a great and awesome gift that he gave, is through the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. I'm thankful for men and women and scholars that can help share the word and teach the word. I was talking to some of them earlier. I think we have some of the best studies for our Sunday school right now that we've had in a long, long time. But you know, with that said, there's just something about when you are filled with the Spirit and you're into the Word and the Word gets into you and how God begins to speak to you through His Word because it's living. It's not a dead Word. It's not just an old book. And that you read it and God speaks to you and opens up things to you that you're thinking, you don't even have to have a commentary. You don't have to have somebody teaching you in that sense because God is your teacher. And the fact the Holy Spirit is opening your mind and giving you understanding of Scriptures. You know, as I was thinking back to sharing a story the other day, is I love the Old Testament. I mean, I grew up and from the time I was a young believer is that I began to just dive into the Word, but I was mainly reading the New Testament because the preachers were normally preaching from the New Testament. But when I got to seminary and my first semester at seminary, I thank God for Dr. Gary Gagliotti. He's retired now. But he gave me a great love for the Old Testament. And he did it through showing me how the two connect together. They're not separate in the Old and New Testaments. They're the two testaments of Christ. That's what it is. We just call them old because of the time of the writing. But you know, as Jesus is speaking here, he begins to open up them and teach them from Moses, meaning from Genesis through Deuteronomy. And then he goes on over to the prophets and he begins to teach them there. And as he goes on, he says, and also I have shared these things with you as the Son of God. Now, you don't see that in the Scriptures. But you know Jesus never denied who he was. At this point, he's with his disciples. He's sharing with them, these things are trustworthy. This word is trustworthy. When all else fails, and then he gives them the understanding through the Holy Spirit to understand the Scriptures. And then the second thing that we see, too, he gives them is this. It says in verse 46, and he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. As I read that, he's not saying that as a sense of remorse or hate I had to do this or, you know, it really wasn't necessary. No, he says it was absolutely necessary. Without that, you had no hope. And without that, I would not have fulfilled in obedience to the mission that my Father sent me for. So there was a purpose for this, and it was designed by the Father from the very beginning of creation, even before creation. God knew that in the wickedness of the hearts of man that we would rebel. And he already had a plan to overcome this. What you're seeing here is how the Scripture reveals the gospel, God's plan for all of mankind, as he is laying this before us right now. And so as he shares with us, that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. You know, as I think about, we're about to celebrate Christmas, and we'll talk more about his death as we get to Easter. But the fact of the matter is we need to be talking about his death all year long because we need to be reminded ourselves of the brutality of the suffering that he went through for my sin and for your sin and for the sins of all man. That he willingly took that sin upon himself, and he willingly took that beating for us, and he willingly went to the cross and died for my sin and for your sin. And he did so because he loved us, and he still loves us. Even before Jesus is about to ascend back to heaven, he's with his disciples, and he loves them, and he's telling them it was necessary. Some of you question, even though he was on the road to Emmaus, they were questioning, why did he have to die? Some of you are not understanding it yet. Why did he have to die? It was spoken and prophesied by the prophets of God. And so it had to happen. There had to be that sacrificial lamb, that one who was spotless and clean, that one without sin, that was fully God and fully man, for man to have the opportunity to be forgiven and reconciled with a holy God. Here's a word that he gave them to preach, and he's given it to us to preach as well as the next gift. And the final gift that he gives us here is found in verse 47. And that repentance and remission or forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. You know, as I read that, he says that there has to be a preaching of repentance. That repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. God has come, and he will come again. And as Christians, we have been preaching this message for over 2,000 years. And you know, when God called me to be a pastor, I was like, Lord, please don't call me to be a pastor. You know, it's good when you're a missionary and you come in, you speak and you leave. And you get before another group of people and you speak and you leave. It was kind of like that with an evangelist. And people come in with evangelists because God gives that gift of evangelism. But it's good you come in and you preach, and people say, oh, that man can preach. Or God used that man to preach. And let me just tell you something. When you stand before people 45, 50 times a year, the same people week in and week out, I thought, Lord, they are going to get bored to death. But you know what? You don't get bored with God if you're in love with God. You don't get bored with hearing of God's word and the challenge of God's word when you're a Christian and a follower of Christ. And you know, you don't get tired of preaching God's word when you're a called preacher of the gospel either. I told you last week I'd been out for a few weeks. I won't go as long today, I promise you. But you know, I missed it. And there was a time where, because I was so afraid, I'm not formally trained to get into the pulpit and preach the word. It's like this was the hardest thing to do every week. Not that I didn't study, not that I didn't prepare, but I always felt so woefully inadequate. Not that I've arrived today, because every week I pray, Lord, you set me aside and you share what you want us to hear today through your word. Just use me as a vessel. And you know, folks, that's what Jesus is telling us. First of all, we've got to repent. We've got to turn from our sin, and we've got to turn to God and God alone. And that ain't the God of Buddha, Allah, any of those others. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you got any question of that, it says repent and then receive the forgiveness of sins, that remission or forgiveness of sins. Is that the way we receive that forgiveness of sin is what he just talked about earlier in his death, is through his shed blood for us alone. Period. Nothing we can do to earn it. That pardon of sin is by grace and grace alone through the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work at Calvary. You know, as I read what he's saying here too, though, he says, and to be preached in his name. In whose name? Jesus' name. Not Allah or Buddha or anybody else. Jesus' name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you know what, folks? This is our Jerusalem. And so while we'll be going to Utah in about July, we're going to be carrying the gospel out there as we go. As they go to Columbia every month, they take the gospel as they go. But that doesn't mean we wait until we go away somewhere to do that. That means we start right here, right where we are. You know, as I was thinking earlier, Miss Tessie, I told Colby, I said, there's my little Andrew this morning. Last week when I got here, he had three with him. Today he's got one with him. Colby is always inviting someone to Jesus, just like Peter's brother Andrew. Always see him and he's trying to bring somebody to Jesus. You know what, folks? We need a lot more Andrews in the church. We need a lot more people bringing friends and tell them you need to know Jesus. I want you to come with me and hear God's word. I want to share with you myself about Jesus because I love you. And Jesus is saying that we need to preach that in his name and be faithful to preach his word. You know, the thing we preach is not our opinion. It's not some polls based on what people like or not like and what's popular in the moment. It's we preach God's word. As I said last week, sometimes it's not easy to preach it, especially when the people you preach it to, you love them, but you're doing what the Lord told you to do, and you're being faithful and obedient to do that, and he blesses that. When we miss the blessing is when we're worried about, okay, I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. We don't set out to hurt people's feelings. We set out to point them to Jesus lovingly and graciously to acknowledge that, first of all, we're a sinner too. And we need God's grace each and every day, just like everybody on earth. And in doing that, to preach the truth of God's word. Now, I've got a couple more quotes here that I'm not going to go to, but the one thing I do want to share with you, though, is another place where one of Paul's associates there is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And I'll close with this because it kind of reminds us and reveals to us who we are in Scripture. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now let me just say, when it says that word complete, I think a lot of us have thought, you know, I got how many Bibles? 20, 30, 40 Bibles? I got an app on my phone. I got it on my computer. I listen to the radio on my radio. I watch Don Wilton on Sundays if I don't come to church. And I watch Brother Stanley a lot of nights and evenings. And boy, I hear preaching all the time. I am complete. I'm full. I have arrived. Let me just tell you, that word does not mean that you understand it to be. What it means is you are a mature and maturing follower as a disciple of Christ. What it tells you is you're not the rabbi yet. You're not God himself. You're not the teacher. You're still a learner. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, I'm a learner. And if I'm not learning and seeking every week to grow, I have very little to share with you for you to try to grow either, to challenge you in any way at all. I love you. I praise the Lord for you. Every one of us individually have to make a decision. I'm going to spend time today alone with God and his word. And I'm going to place God's word in my heart so that when I'm faced with temptation or I'm faced with struggles and despair of questions of faith of whether God knows where I am or whether God knows my situation or whether God cares about me or loves me, that you'll be reminded through his word. Yes, he does. And yes, he will. And yes, he's an on-time God. He doesn't always answer the prayers in the way we want it. He doesn't always answer them in the time we want it, in those things. But let me just tell you this. He's an on-time God. He's there every time at the right time because he reveals himself at those times when we are at our weakest and we need him to reveal himself in a way that we've never experienced before. But it happens as we're growing immersed in God's word. It's important. On Wednesday nights, I'm going to be teaching the Sunday school lesson. But I'm not going to be teaching the Sunday school lesson. We're going to be learning together through the study together. It's not going to be a time like this where I'm preaching to somebody. It's going to be a time where we're sitting there going through God's word and asking questions of one another and finding the answers in God's word. So I invite you to come and be here for that. But I want to challenge you, if you have never really made it a habit, to have a daily walk of spending that time alone with God, studying his word, reading it, praying, learning it, meditating on it, just like Jesus did when he was a boy, just like it helped him through his life as he was older and as the Son of God to fulfill that scripture because he knew the scripture. And folks, it helps us to live a life of righteousness by knowing and living out the scripture through our lives. In whatever way the Lord is speaking to you today, maybe just saying, Lord, just help me today. Open my mind and give me a greater understanding. Fill me with your spirit, because maybe we've quenched the spirit. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin, and would you restore me in that relationship? And would you then open my mind to grow closer and deeper in that relationship with you? In whatever way he's calling you, maybe he's opened your mind today to say he is the Son of God. He died for you and for your sin. And if you will repent and turn to him and away from your sin and turn to him, he will forgive you of your sin. And he will save you today. Maybe he's calling you into salvation today. Maybe you've known all about in your mind who he is, but you've never acknowledged him through believing in him in your heart and committing your life to him. You see, too often growing up in the Bible Belt here, we know a lot about Jesus. But we could be knowing a lot about like that internet information too. We've got it all wrong. Or we could be like those disciples that are on the road to Emmaus, and you're walking along with Jesus right beside you, waiting, trying to reveal himself to you, and you're so busy in conversation, somebody else over here, the things you're worried about, that you don't even talk to the one that can help you answer those questions that you have worries about, and it can tell you, don't worry about it, because I already know what's going to happen. And I'm going to be here with you, and I'm going to help you through it. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and stand. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this precious group of people here, Lord. I thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord, that you have given us. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, we pray that today is a day of salvation. Do not delay depending on tomorrow, because we're not promised tomorrow. Lord, I pray today, Lord, for a brother or sister in Christ, Lord, that maybe just for the first time he needs to acknowledge, Lord, I need to grow in my relationship with you. And to do that, I ask you to open my mind, open my heart to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, is that I would give better understanding through the reading of your word, and I would walk in a way that honors and glorifies you and points others to you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.